Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back. Get comfortable. Talk about some weird stuff. And just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
Yes, sir. Jimmy Jack Jackie.
Oh, Matthew.
It is good.
It is. It's a nice day.
It is, well, we don't know that for sure. I mean, it is today.
Today is, yeah.
We don't know when you're listening, but hopefully every day from now on will be good.
Doubtful.
You're listening to episode 15 of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Again, I'm Matt Mann. He is 9.
Welcome.
And, you know, we could probably do an entire podcast on this, what I'm about to say alone, but 9 just used a bit of my own trickery upon me.
What's that?
Well, you know, but I'm sharing it with them. Or maybe you don't. You were saying, one thing that we've learned through COVID and through doing this new show is the art of the conversation.
Yeah.
I think. Meaning, don't walk in necessarily knowing what you're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, in the hallway, I remember now.
And you're like, you know, we got an email or blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, let me ask you this. And you're like, oh.
Ah.
Save it for the air.
Save it for the cast. Yeah, 'cause you were trying to guess my thing about it. Yeah.
Yes, I was trying to guess your thing about it.
My answer to, you were trying to guess my answer to the question. Yeah.
And then you said, that's actually what we could talk about. And I was like, what? You're like, save it for the cast.
Save it for the podcast. Save it for After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Which we appreciate you so much. And I said this the other day, and I really think this holds water. You are very dedicated listening to this right now, more so than some who listen to our regular morning show.
Right, absolutely.
If you're listening to a podcast, you're tuned in.
Yeah, you are.
If you're listening in the car, whatever, you know, you've got distractions, you need to pay attention to the road. People have to pull over listening, they say, if that's true, because sometimes things are funny in the mornings. But this right here, you know. That's what I want to ask you to do, other than to spread the word, because I'm being quite honest with you. That's how we're compensated. I mean, that's just the truth of it. The bigger it gets, that's how we will get paid.
Yeah.
Eventually. I think a fun little thing is, with a podcast, where are you listening to this right now? Like this particular show?
Mm-hmm.
Just tweet us or Instagram us or ever how you contact 9 and I. I'm at O'Matthew, that's O-H-M-A-F-F-E-W.
Yeah.
At all your platforms-ish. Yep.
Man, I've been on Twitter so long, I'm at Nueve, you know, like Spanish for 9.
You got that one?
Yeah, I got that one. Like, I was on Twitter, like, one of the first people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on, you know what, I like Snapchatting with people. 9 from TRG, N-I-N-E from TRG. I enjoy that.
I'm at O'Matthew there, too, but I don't use it that often.
Yeah, I enjoy using that one. It's not frivolous contact with people.
I like Instagram, my favorite.
And sometimes nude photos. I've never gotten nudes on Instagram. I've seen naked people on Twitter and Snapchat, but never Instagram.
Oh, you get in trouble.
Not even in, well, I'm talking about even in my DMs.
Oh.
Yeah, never.
Oh. Yeah. So, I just think it would be interesting because I wonder, you know, like, are you in the bath? Are you at the gym? Are
you just drive a lot for work?
Drive a lot, whatever. I'm just curious. So just hit us up and just say, hey, here's the answer to your question. That's how you can put in the body of the email or whatever.
Yeah, the majority of people I know who listen to a lot of podcasts either have a job where they sit at a desk by themselves and don't really communicate too much with other people. So they listen while they work or they drive a lot and listen, which makes sense.
I whistle.
You get lonely when you drive around by yourself all day, every day.
Yeah.
Feels like you have somebody to talk to. We're here for you. We'll be your friend.
Yeah,
you just can't talk back.
No. But you can contact us like that.
You can.
Okay, so there was an email that was sent. And,
it was a DM on Twitter. It didn't contain any nude photos.
I forget to go look at the DMs on there.
Unless I get a notification, I don't.
And you
don't.
Turn those off.
I don't always get. Well, even when I open the app and you see the notifications down at the bottom, I don't always get those for my mentions or my my messages. So sometimes if you tweet me stuff, I just don't see it. I don't have any way to see it.
I'm close to having to get a new phone just because of the battery.
Oh yeah.
I don't need I don't need 14 new damn cameras. It's just the battery drains. I turn off all notifications. But anyway.
Yeah.
At O Matthew, and then
various ways of contacting me. If you'd like, just rewind and listen to them again.
There we go. Yeah.
You can do this podcast. Big. You can do that easy.
Yeah. You pause it right now. Go take a dump.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a guy. I don't remember his name. I'm looking at my phone right now. But his question was interesting, I assure you.
Yeah.
He just wanted to, he listens to the other show, and he's heard Matt Mann's Conspiracy Mysteries on there where you just talk about a conspiracy. You present a conspiracy that some people believe. You don't really... you know, say that this is your opinion. You just kind of present it.
Right.
And we talk about it. He knows that we're both kind of interested in conspiracy theories and conspiracy mysteries and conspiracies.
I love them.
So his question...
I like unsolved mysteries.
His question was about debunking them. Because he's, you know, he mentioned that he's heard us debunk the vast majority of the ones we've ever talked about. And he wants to know how we debunk so many of them. Like what if they're... He asked if there's a process or a certain way you look at it in order to debunk it because he wants to do the same thing.
Did he mention what his is about by chance?
He didn't mention a specific one, just general conspiracy theories.
Is it about Lake Titicaca?
It wasn't a specific one.
So that right there in itself is kind of a conspiracy. I mean, it really is. The reason I say that is when it comes to... I'll tell you my way of thinking, or I guess my tools of processing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, and then I have a second one, and then maybe I go further. I start off with Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And then again, so I'll pause there. I don't know how that became the trusted source.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty reliable. There are other sources you can look at along with it. You know, it's a good place to go and get started.
Yeah.
And then if you want to read further, you can look for other sources to make sure you're reading the same stuff.
Yeah. Don't go to Waikikipedia. It's all Hawaiian stuff.
Yeah, it was a Taika Waititipedia. Yeah. So he's a good director.
Well, so I go to, and again, Wikipedia in itself is kind of odd because it's free as hell. We've accepted it as kind of like the Encyclopedia Britannica now.
It is the encyclopedia.
Yeah, but it's volunteer. Mm-hmm. It's publicly, donations.
Yeah, they solicit for donations. They've been doing it lately. They need money.
Yeah, I see that on the pop-up.
Provide a tremendous service to the entire world.
And then I also will go to Snopes, but not as much because, again, it becomes a conspiracy because I learned about the husband and wife who founded Snopes.
Yeah.
And how they leaned and who they supported and who they donated to. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well.
I mean, everybody has their personal beliefs and their personal.
Not.
Everybody does. Everybody has their personal opinions.
Cronkite was the last person who I swear I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like he was such a trusted source. Boy, that's such a solid question because my mind is going in like 15 different directions.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example of what you're talking about. A lot of people recently got really pissed off at Chris Jericho, the wrestler,
sure.
Because it came out that he had donated money to Donald Trump's campaign.
Gone.
And Chris Jericho is about 50. He's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Wasn't surprised at all.
No.
He
lives in Florida.
He wasn't surprised in the least that he was supported Donald Trump's campaign.
Yeah, no.
It didn't surprise me a bit. Half of America did, roughly, almost.
Almost.
I mean, a lot of people did, especially in the South, including Florida. Trump won Florida, where Jericho lives. So yeah, it didn't surprise me, and I wasn't mad about it.
They have no mask mandates down there at all.
Unless somebody went and searched it out and posted it on the internet, I never would have known, nor would I have cared.
No.
It's like he volunteered the information or campaigned or talked about it openly. He never said a word.
Do we know any other wrestlers who donated? Who does Steve Mongo McMichael support?
No idea. No one cared.
Yeah, well.
He's broke now. I don't know that. He might have money.
Yeah.
Probably got more than me.
Yeah, everybody has a way that they would lean or whatever. Like with on the Rise Guys Morning Show 9, when you do celebrity birthdays, there's a website that you will go to sometimes, and you'll look at theirs, and then you'll say, "Wait a minute, somebody else I remember." And you'll look, and you'll be like, "How did they forget that it was Warren Moon's birthday, or how did they not know to put Warren freaking Moon?"
I use Wikipedia for that.
Right, so
it has all the notable births, mainly people I never heard of, but anybody I have heard of, by God, they'll be there.
But so Wikipedia, it became a trusted source, and I guess I'm sitting here poking holes in my own theories. That why am I trusting this thing that all these other people can weigh in on with mm-hmm. their facts and different references and stuff.
Well, that's one of the other sources. The internet is plenty of sources of information on the internet. You might start there, but you'll go other places too.
That's what I was going to say.
You'll Google around.
I go YouTube third.
Yeah. Oh, YouTube, man. That's the one that gets me is I with the way my mind works and the way your mind works, Matt, and the way that a lot of people, people I call friends, the way their minds tend to work, most of them, few exceptions. But it's you don't just watch a YouTube video or absorb a conspiracy theory and accept it as the truth necessarily. You watch it with some level of skepticism. It's being presented to you, but just because somebody's saying it doesn't mean you take it as fact. I do the same thing when I talk to people about most anything. Not that I'm trying to see if they're lying to me or anything. It's just I'm listening and observing and just making observations.
You're gonna make me paranoid by saying that.
Yeah, it's not that I mean, it sounds like I'm paranoid in the way that I do, but it isn't paranoia. It doesn't dominate my life or my relationships or my conversations I have with people. It's just kind of the way my brain works, and it's fine.
I like it as almost looking at it as a mystery, like I mentioned earlier, unsolved mystery.
It's kind of like a puzzle. Like, let's break this down.
Why does so many people believe this? And then the way I would break it down is, who's benefiting from this?
Yeah.
Is a way I look at it. Like, if there's some kind of great legend in a certain town where there's nothing else going on,
mm-hmm.
I was like, they needed an attraction.
Yeah.
They needed the biggest ball of fucking twine on the face of the earth.
Yeah. They needed a lot of yarn, a lot of string for that.
A lot of that.
The first thing I look at with any conspiracy is, sure, I'll watch the YouTube video. I have 3.5 minutes to absorb this entire life-altering, centuries-long, generational conspiracy that is global.
Right.
I have 3 minutes for that.
Sure.
So the first thing I look at is, how many people are involved in this?
Mm-hmm.
And usually when I look at that and ask myself that question, how many people have to be involved in this for this to work? Usually at that moment, I can debunk 99% of all conspiracies, probably more than that. Almost all of them you can debunk as soon as you ask yourself, how many people would have to be involved in this?
Right. But depending on how big the conspiracy is or the theory is.
Yeah.
But some of them, if you look at it from the point of view, this is so many different pairs of shoes that you're wearing now, but if you it's the left hand and the right hand. They're working together, but if they don't realize what the other side's doing, then it's not a complete puzzle.
Yeah.
So I've often wondered about that with one particular theory that I don't even want to mention. It would be an entire two-parter, I think.
But yeah.
There's stuff that...
Feel free to mention. We can go into it a little bit. It was what theory it is, at least. We can come back to it another episode. We'll keep doing them as long as they keep not paying us.
It is the moon landing video.
Okay, yeah, we can definitely come back to that. I just wanted to know, at least for now, which one it is.
I think that left hand, right hand, blah, blah, blah. But then, outside of that, the puppet masters, that would have to be hundreds.
Yes, it'd have to be a lot of people.
And eventually there would have been a deathbed confession.
Somebody would have said something. Somebody would have told someone. And that's how you use the question of how many people would have to be involved in this? Because if two people know something, it's not a secret. Yeah. I mean, it's just some of these theories, so many people would have to be involved in so many places that somebody would say something, somebody would question it, somebody would feel bad about it. Something would come out at some point over all the decades that pass.
But with that one, and again, we can hold off or whatever, but with that one, if you ever came forward with any kind of negative whatever, you would, at that time, that celebration that was going on in America, beating out Russia,
yeah.
you know, getting there, that would have been almost treasonous
yeah.
to say, we didn't, I mean, you didn't, it was only in the 70s where people started even speaking out against the war, vocally out in the streets.
Yeah, I mean, in the 60s, you were a hardcore extremist for opposing the Vietnam War when it first started up. Yeah, you would have
Big
been
time.
A hardcore extremist,
60s,
or
yes.
considered that at least. But yeah, it's, and you could use the space race, Russia stuff, or USSR, Soviet stuff, Cold War stuff. It's a lot of, you know, marketing patriotism to people, indoctrinating. I mean,
but I believe Russia is evil as hell, though.
Well, I grew up in the 80s watching those movies, so yeah, they were always
there. But as 2020, looking at it, I do.
I haven't forgotten about that. I don't think they're our friend. Nor no better than that. One that's interesting is anything related to space has been very nicely muddied up. And that includes Roswell or anything related to UFOs have been very muddied up by a... And that's one thing that you can do when you're in a position of authority is you can... Man, you can run out lines and lines and lines of fake stories from all kind of people. And that's what happened with... Look, at this point in 2020, the government has fully admitted they've seen things they can't explain. They've seen things that are not of this world.
Right.
We most likely have possessed some of that technology in the last 60, 65 years of technological innovation is great evidence of the fact that we came into some stuff that we didn't have before that.
Again, there's two major corporations that in 1946 just popped.
Yeah.
And are still revolutionizing certain tech.
But at this point, that stuff has pretty much been admitted, and it's on public record. It's in official government documents that have been released. A lot of those have been released this calendar year, though, so people just kind of looked over it for some reason. It didn't really make the splash it should have made, but I think that's because a lot of people already kind of believe that anyway, so they weren't really surprised when the government confirmed, yeah, some of this stuff is true.
Yeah.
And the most convincing thing is obviously the naval fighter pilots.
That was the first thing we ever talked about on this show.
Yeah, off the coast of San Diego. Yeah. What they saw was not of this earth. There's no way anybody has that technology on this earth. It's impossible. There's no way that somebody has this secret technology that is so much more advanced than anything anybody else has. Now, it's nobody on this plane has that.
And it would be the way that whoever the powers that be are, there is not money anymore. It's mm-hmm. power and ego.
Yeah.
And if they had that tech, they would, I feel like they would want to flaunt that they had that tech.
Yeah, but
unless it's the enemy.
Yeah, but they don't have that tech. They simply do not. There's no possible way they do because of the rate of technological innovation. This is so far advanced past anything we've seen. There's just no way in hell. No way in hell.
No chance.
No, not a single chance in hell. Not a snowball's chance. No chance in hell.
This is when we would play that song by Vince McMahon, but
we don't have the rights to play it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the first way I try to debunk most conspiracies. I think if you believe in like a Sandy Hook conspiracy, you're a blithering idiot. You probably shouldn't drive or be allowed to vote if you believe in that.
Because you're here.
It's. I mean, just the level of pain involved in that.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back for, like, Alex Jones. And that's when it all just...
And to try to cheapen the pain those people went through and the loss they suffered. But again, how many people would have to be involved? I mean, these people would have set up entire lifetimes to lived their lives
yeah.
in the roles of these characters to then carry out a conspiracy against you and fake all they lost and all the pain they went through?
Like the...
Now, if you believe that, you're a moron.
Well said.
Thank you.
I mean, that was well said because you and that's what I was saying with Alex Jones is like that guy was spitting some truth. Like, he was talking some real stuff. But then when that one when he started getting into that, you know, he had obviously a lot of people in his ear. And you know, with radio, because he was still on regular radio, he was wanting to keep the ball rolling with more sensationalism. And whatever that was, yeah, that was the low point. That's when being a conspiracy theorist became more of the tinfoil hat because of Alex Jones.
It did. And he's a guy who, even when he's making a good point, has just a way about him of making something completely rational sound utterly insane.
Like, there's a conspiracy theory that Alex Jones is Bill Hicks.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, they do look a lot alike, but I'm pretty sure Bill Hicks is...
Oh, yeah.
He's an upstanding guy in the way he thought, I think.
Well, he was a character. He was a Kaufman-like kind of guy.
Convicted, though, of his beliefs. Very passionate. Yeah. Which you can say the same for Alex Jones, but they're not the same.
Well, sometimes
Bill Hicks would make fun of Alex Jones.
You
what
have
saying.
These characters of history, like these performance artist types, that would portray a character that was leaning this way, but in reality, it was pushing you to the other side.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Fred Phelps, that guy.
Yeah.
You know, you find out a lot about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Driving a certain way, and it was all kind of politically minded.
Exactly. We've talked about some of the biggest ones, obviously, with the moon landing and UFOs and Roswell and just that generally encompassing subject. The other biggest one, the biggest one by far, if you're an American, is the Kennedy assassination, which... With that one, I mean, it definitely seems like the official version of events is not what happened. There was something else happened. So with that one, again, what I look to, just out of basic rational thought, the way my brain takes me, is, well, which one of these theories involved the fewest people? That is the most likely one, the one with the smallest group of people working to achieve their goal. I'm not sure which one involved the fewest number of people, but odds are the one that involves the fewest number of people is the one that holds the most water.
What if all those, let's say with JFK, because you've got Jack Ruby, you've got Oswald, you have Bush.
Johnson.
LBJ, all that, yeah. All these different circles. If one thinks, okay, we're doing this to get rid of Jack Ruby so we can... get him off the streets because he's a mobster.
Jack Ruby, who had those ties and had worked in California in Congressman Ronald Reagan's office prior to that.
All right, there's the third point I was going to make. What if all these guys don't realize that all this is going to culminate to what's going to culminate? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, one guy wants to just elevate himself. Another guy just wants to elevate himself. But they don't realize to do that, ultimately, this guy's got to die for the job opening.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. I mean, Bush was in – there's photographs on photographs of him walking around downtown Dallas when allegedly he was not there.
Yeah, I mean, well, also this is George H.W. Bush.
Yes.
The 41st president of the United States. He testified before Congress when he was being interviewed for the director of the CIA was the position. He testified before Congress that he had never previously worked for the CIA before. Come to find out, he had worked for the CIA before, and it came across J. Edgar Hoover's desk of a memo of a George Bush working for the CIA covertly in the Caribbean during the era of the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the CIA was up to a lot of dirty stuff down there.
And ended up being the leader of the CIA. And what would you call that? I'm sorry.
Director. That's when he said he'd never worked for the CIA. He was testifying before Congress before he was appointed director of the CIA. Said he'd never worked for him when in fact he had. But the assassination of Kennedy, it did open up a power vacuum that led directly through, obviously, Johnson, the rule of secession, if the president, he was vice president. Mm-hmm. But then through Nixon, and Nixon threw a wrench into it by getting kind of too big for his britches with Watergate stuff. So then you got Carter, but then right back to the power vacuum through Reagan, whose vice president was Bush, and then Bush, and then Clintons and the Bushes aren't really enemies or anything, and then another Bush for 8 years. I mean, it opened up a power vacuum for over 50 years in America.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But who...
And there's a reason for that. When you look at who benefited from it, obviously family benefited tremendously.
Sure. But at the same time, though, that all those guys, you know, I've often said that some of the most evil people, you say, how can a rational person do great evil and lay their head down at night? You know, a rational person, how can they do that? Yeah. But if they program themselves to say, I'm doing this for the greater good of our country.
Yes.
There are some people that are so indoctrinated with their mind or their point of view of the way the country should be, whatever, this ism, that ism, not jism, ism. It's almost like I can lay my head down at night because I know that I was doing this for the greater good.
Yeah.
Even though someone, it's the same way as we lay our heads down at night knowing our men and women are putting their lives on the line overseas defending our freedoms.
I mean, why were Nazis Nazis?
Because they were doing it for Mother Russia.
Or Germany.
Or your mother. yeah, well, there's some ties there, too. But they wanted to have that, in their point of view, the perfect race.
Exactly. I mean, they did awful things, but in their mind, they were doing it for the greater good. Because they'd been indoctrinated. They'd basically been brainwashed to some extent.
Witches were burned and stoned and stuff.
It's why blind patriotism is... Or our changing definition of patriotism, where patriotism isn't rah, rah, go, whatever we're doing. Patriotism is loving your country and standing up for what the beliefs of the country are. Mm-hmm. A lot of times patriotism is not going rah, rah, whatever we're doing, because sometimes we're doing bad things, and we don't need to rah, rah that. Mm-hmm. A patriot would not rah, rah doing bad things.
Right.
But our modern definition of patriotism is 100% rah, rah, this is our team, whatever we do, I don't care, suck it. But yeah, I mean, and it's the dangerous thing.
Oh, very much.
It's a dangerous thing. Any kind of blind patriotism has led people to do awful things that they would not do that are completely out of character for them because they're not that bad as people, but they've
done. Is this going to ultimately end us talking about Facebook?
I mean, it could go that way. Yeah, talking about the downfall of Western civilization.
Propaganda for profit.
Yeah, the downfall of civilization is definitely social media. The internet was good, then social media was not. But I guess to
AOL wrap, chat rooms were awesome.
They were fun. To wrap up, I guess, kind of on the Kennedy thing, it doesn't matter which one of the theories you believe. Some people believe the CIA and the Bush thing. Some people believe the La Cosa Nostra, the mafia thing. Mm. Some people believe Cuba had a lot more to do with it. A lot of theories about it. Any one of them could hold water, though, because it's been so muddied up by well-coordinated effort to let loose so many theories about it.
Right.
I mean, it's been a coordinated effort to make sure you heard so many theories about it just to muddy the waters. And that's on the biggest conspiracy theories like that, anything involving big-time government-level stuff, notice the waters are very, very muddied by the sheer number of theories.
And there's also several characters that are always involved in several of the ones we just mentioned, and even to this day, they still come up in various conversations. I'm talking about Henry Kissinger, and I just don't understand how... Yeah. How? Like, there's so many fingers pointed at that guy of things that he knew about, didn't necessarily do, but knew about, and... I don't know.
He got away with it.
So protected.
He's still living too, right?
Yes.
I didn't remember if he. I mean, so many big names have died this year. I couldn't remember if he was one of them, but I thought he was.
I'm going to watch the Oscars this year just so I can find out who died this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we can hope for some kind of deathbed tell-all, but it's not coming. He hasn't said anything ever. He's not going to start now.
Well, with him, there's other people that would have had to have been involved. Back to the left and right-hand thing, you know, there's a fraternal, and I'm not going to mention any names. You do your own research, but there's a fraternal organization that on the ground level is a very caring, giving group of men.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moves up several levels, and then it becomes a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And the ones at that level don't associate with the good old boys that don't ever move up off the bottom level.
Yeah.
Those people through history end up being a lot of the controlling types, and that's how I wonder if that's how—
It's a class structure within the fraternity.
Yeah, it's like the Titanic
mm-hmm.
in the fraternity. But I wonder if somehow— not with this fraternal organization, but if it's the left hand and the right hand, but they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, to some extent it is, because that's what we know of the way organizations like the CIA, intelligence organizations all over the world, the way they work is nobody knows all that's going on. Everybody involved in an operation just knows a little bit of it to carry out their part of that operation. They might, like you said, when we were talking about Kennedy, everybody involved doesn't know the end goal. They know what they're supposed to do, but they don't know what havoc it may ultimately be wreaking once they play their part.
Right.
It's a big machine, and you're just one cog in that machine, and you're not aware of what the next cog or the cog after that is going to do. You have no idea. That's part of how they've always worked, and it's no secret that's how intelligence agencies work, even amongst themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's
very secretive, very, very shadowy. I mean, it's why they do what they do. It's why they're good at it. It's also why they can be very evil.
I gotta bring a pen and a pad in here next time. I have so many thoughts, I need to write them down.
This is tough, man. This is a lot.
The one point that I did want to go back to with the moon landing video is I want to stress the video. I'm not necessarily saying we never went to the moon
mm-hmm.
and landed, but I have a hard time with the video, and I have a hard time with some people that were involved were brought in the last minute.
And you don't accept the answers that have been given necessarily.
That we sent the signal to Australia's continent because it was closer,
yeah.
And then we had ABC down there film the screen, so it'd be much more cloudier and darker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the several minutes that are missing.
There are questions about it. It was very— live TV was very primitive then compared to what it is now, or even tape-delayed TV, or broadcasting from the moon is, you know, it was, but they had radio communication, so they could have had video communication.
Sure.
They could have, I mean, yeah.
But we have a hard time in 2020 sometimes in the regular studio just staying on the air. I can only imagine how it was in—
Well, the government's got better stuff than we do.
Well, FCC?
Yeah.
Hard F on that.
They're behind the times. But, I mean, you know, when it comes to technology, look, here's another thing about your moon landing theory that it's in a way it's going to throw water on your moon landing theory. When did we supposedly land on the moon?
64.
Okay.
Correct?
Was it 64? Did we walk in 64, 5, 6? It's in the 60s. I don't remember.
64,
I think.
But
I thought it was like 69 or something. But it was a few years after Kennedy died. Yeah, look that up real quick.
Take me a few.
maybe I'm just thinking about 69 because I'm a dude who does this for a living. But, but okay, so again, we all admit that after Roswell.
69, you're right.
Hey, after Roswell and stuff, we found a lot of technology from that, right?
Without question.
Well, then we were able to get to the moon, and all of a sudden we can broadcast, we can send a TV signal back from the moon.
Right.
Now, that's technology that if we were to find a saucer, any kind of spacecraft, would have had that technology on board to radio communication far away, further than we could imagine,
mm-hmm.
and propulsion and all the things you would need to get to space. So in a way that, you know, believing in any kind of Roswell 1940s UFO stuff, government finding technology, Area 51 stuff, kind of dispels, in my mind, parts of the moon landing conspiracy, because it would make sense how all of a sudden we had this stuff that didn't make any sense to have, because we got it from an alien spacecraft that obviously would have had those capabilities because it got here.
I understand that, and I think there's validity to that, but there's so many different. Why was there a camera already on the moon that filmed the shuttle landing down or the capsule landing on the moon?
And there is an explanation for that that has been given officially. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I've read it. I just don't remember right now. They tried. They have an explanation for it.
Yeah.
I just don't remember what it is.
Okay. And then the lack of propulsion dust and no feet print.
There are a lot of questions, but the important thing is with any of these, never just accept one and then stop asking questions about it.
Well, it's only until this, really, 2020, that I think I've been more cognizant of how, and this isn't throwing gas on another theory, but how other nations influence the way we think.
Yeah.
How do we know that Russia didn't get pissed that we beat their ass to the moon, that they started putting this propaganda out over here?
Yeah.
I mean...
Cold War was a lot of propaganda on both sides, and thankfully it happened before the internet is as we know it now.
Oh, my God.
Because even now, I mean, you know, most everything you see on, I'll use Twitter as the example, most everything on Twitter is a bot. If you look at something that the president tweets and you read the replies, you can pretty easily pick out that the vast majority of these replies are bots. They're not real people. They're AI bots.
Yeah.
Most of the accounts, I think, on Twitter, and I mean greater than 50%, I believe, are bots.
Sometimes I will look, especially if it's someone I'm jealous of that I don't understand why they're famous and why they have all these followers. I'll look and see, and it'll be like these very ambiguous profiles that'll just say, yes, queen, or love, or just very just innocuous kind of responses. That has to be what it is.
Yeah, and I mean,
did I use innocuous correctly?
Yeah, I think
Thank
so.
You. Thank
and
you.
there are a lot of one that really will shine a light on that for you is in the pro wrestling. There are a lot of bots concerning WWE. Tons of bots, fan
that.
Bots. Bots that will, if you talk bad about them, they have bots that will argue with you, as a report I read the other day. So just that shines a big light on how many bots there are. And then you start looking into the replies of world leaders, just nothing but bots from other countries.
Who was the professional athlete? I want to say it was an NFL player that someone was talking crap to him on Twitter, and then he went in under a burner to respond, but he was still under his verified.
I want to say it was Kevin Durant.
Okay.
I want to say he had burner accounts.
Yeah.
Definitely an NBA player, like a really good one, too.
Yeah. I could totally see that. But that could have been where the – because that was a time when they would have been pissed and wanted to the muddy the way we think. Mm-hmm. But then you got the Van Allen belt.
And by the way, we do the same thing other places, too, that they try to do here, propaganda. We gave them the playbook on how to do propaganda.
Well, you know, it's weird how, you know, up until, I want to say like the last 15 years when I would see news footage of China,
yeah,
it would be a lot of people walking around in smog wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
And they would always, it's the pollution over there and all this. And that's all you ever saw. And it's like when people think of the South, what they think. They think of farmers having sex with cousins and moonshine and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Partially true. And then various regions in other countries and stuff. But then when you actually go online and you Google and look at the images, and even on Instagram, if you're on social media, pick a place in the world, go on the locator and mm-hmm. look at it. The news will project, this is so solemn over here, this is going on, blah, blah, blah. You go there. There was an example of something you and Fatboy were talking about on the morning show, Nine, that
we use the Snapchat map all over the world a lot of times how westernized a lot of living is in the Middle East.
Incredible. They're like partying over there the same way we do over here.
It is not portrayed to us the way it actually is, but now you can go and kind of see it for yourself.
Yeah.
And, man, that leads me to something I know we want to talk more about at some point, but there are parts of the world that if you grew up in the United States, as the vast majority of our audience did,
thank you.
You were never taught anything about them. You really had to seek it out, or you had to seek an advanced, like graduate education in order to learn anything about these places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had to be a university history student to learn about these places.
Yeah, you couldn't go to even the library to look up stuff like there. The resources were not there.
Limited information from encyclopedias or libraries. Yeah, there just wasn't a lot to be found. But for some reason, we never really learned or talked about or heard anything about. I'll name three countries right off the top of my head. Kazakhstan, you only know because of Sasha Baron Cohen.
Borat.
Uh, Uzbekistan, you only know because of the same thing.
Yep.
Turkmenistan, you literally don't know at all.
Were you aware of that before our conversation the other day?
Yeah, I was. I was aware of that. It's not something I think about a lot, but it's a very interesting thing because
I would love to do a cast just on that.
Those
man.
Are three fairly large and fairly peaceful, stable Muslim nations. I mean, Turkmenistan shares a southern border with Iran.
Yeah,
Iran's northern border is Turkmenistan's southern border. They're right there together, and these countries are largely peaceful, and they do all right.
They stay off the radar, quite literally. And I want to spell this
out for
you.
It's like the Switzerland model, but it works better for these countries for some reason.
Well, Switzerland now you think is okay. It's just rich white men hiding money.
Also, you know? Very strikingly beautiful areas, too.
Well, I want you to go on Google image search and just type this in. Turk, T-U-R-K-M-E-N-I-S-T-A-N.
Turkmenistan.
T-U-R-K-M-E-N-I-S-T-A-N. Go to the Google image search.
Yeah.
You probably have the perception like I did that it's like somewhere Borat would have lived. You see the architecture and the statues, mm-hmm. and it's incredible. And it's also free health care, free benefits, free all this stuff. Now, people instantly say communism or whatever, and it is true that like 80% of the population works for the government.
Yeah.
But the payoff.
Also, the largest employer here by miles is the government. Nobody employs more Americans than the federal government.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And in the majority of states, the state employs most of the residents. Yeah. Or more than anybody else.
Is it that high?
No, not that high here. But the largest employer nationally is the federal government. And in a lot of states, the largest employer in the state is the state itself.
What's also odd about this is there's a lot of these different canals that go to these different monoliths and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's also these various highways that are just incredibly intertwined, and they light up at night. They're not solar powered, and they're not electricity powered.
Yeah. Well, it's a gas source, right? It's full of gas.
Quit looking up everything. Everything I want to talk about, you already know.
It's got gas lamps, gas lights.
Well, they have gas lights, but it's because they're right beside the pits of hell.
Yeah.
It's this burning oil pit that's been burning for 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
Russia allegedly set it on fire.
Might have been burning forever.
Yeah. They call it the pits of hell if you want to look that up. But, yeah, it's but what more so I think is interesting about all this, Google, I think, is the be-all, end-all. That's where the door opens to all the different rabbit holes.
Yeah.
The answers are there, but sometimes you've romanticized the theory.
Mm-hmm.
I am very guilty of that. I'm very guilty of being able to find the answer, but I romanticize that mystery, and I hold on to that saying, all right, that kind of makes sense, but this over here is a little more interesting.
Well, people fall head first, and I've never known you to fall head first into one the way people, you know what I'm talking
I
about.
I do.
People fall deep into one, and it's like the gospel to them.
I constantly update and try to ask questions without, yes,
it's
absolutely.
The same people who get catfished. If not the same people, it's a very similar psychological thing going on that allows you to be catfished when you know the truth, you just won't admit it to yourself. Or to fall into ridiculous conspiracy theories.
Sure. I agree with that.
Treat them like the Bible.
The same people that would maybe get a phone call saying their grandson had been arrested and you needed to wire $150, we'll let him out.
Yeah.
That kind of person.
I mean, but a lot of times those are just older people who are scared and trusting who fall into that. But these young, bright-minded people somehow, there's some psychological thing I don't understand. Maybe somebody does. Where they fall into a conspiracy or they allow themselves to be catfished. And I've known some people who fell into this stuff and never would have seen it coming, except that there's some psychological thing that leads them down that path where they won't admit the truth. They just want to believe something so badly that it becomes the truth in their mind, which is otherwise a rational mind.
Well, sure. I mean, I have a very creative mind, I think. Mm-hmm. I try to think outside the box with a lot of stuff, but my way of thinking really started off at a young age. You know this, Jimmy, but my dad had a copy of Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Daniken. The whole Ancient Aliens show is based on this one book.
Yeah.
And, you know, raised in a time the church doors were open, be there. My mom was a music writer. My dad was a deacon, all that stuff. To see that book laying right beside the Holy Bible and to read it, and I would ask questions in my, you know, I don't really remember my dad saying anything other than just read the book.
Yeah.
He never would, because all Eric Van Daniken's book, Daniken, is everything ends in a question mark. He's not saying it. He's just asking the question.
He wants you to think. Instead of presenting this as the truth, just wants you to think about this.
I love
this.
That.
It's a great, great thing. We should do more of that. We make statements when we should ask questions. It's kind of a societal flaw.
So JFK, would that be your biggest hold on as far as conspiracy theories go?
I guess so, because it's definitely a conspiracy, but I don't know the answer.
And there's been a lot of people who have spoke the truth about that, but it's almost like the...
But a lot of people have spoken multiple different truths about that that can't all be true.
Operatives, things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, again, muddying the waters.
But when we talk about, you know, all these classified files are released, and even oftentimes they're released and 60%, 70% will be blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always...
It's redacted.
50, 60, 70 years down the road when the generation that fought to find out that information is long gone, dead, yeah. elderly in a nursing home, and the generation up has their next big thing that they're trying to get the answers to. So the answers are never given to the people that want them, and the ones who get the information don't really care.
Yeah, it's too far gone at that point. It's too far in the past. There's no one to hold accountable. There's
When's
nothing
the last
we can go back on.
2,000-page report that you actually read.
Man, that's the thing. I mean, we got senators and congressmen, congresspeople, who go in and vote on things you know they haven't read in their entirety.
Oh, without question.
You just got it last night. It's 14,000 pages. How are you voting on it today at 9:30 a.m.?
You know the easiest example of that? Terms and conditions on apps.
Yeah.
It's been said a zillion times. You'll see the docs, the documentaries, the YouTube, everything about you're giving them this information. They get your locations, access to your photos, blah, blah, blah.
And you treat it like a conspiracy, even though they told you what they were doing.
And you don't give a damn because you want to hurt and get that free app.
Yeah.
We're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
We're told that this certain chemical that adds a certain color to a food will give you cancer if you take too much of it. Well, I don't eat it that often.
Yeah.
I only eat maraschino cherries when I'm having a banana split.
Yeah. You know, one day it's not a big deal. The next day you're in a kitchen trying to kill RFK, all right?
Hey, guys.
That's how you get too far
gone.
Wow. Yeah.
Sirhan.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I'll be dad blamed.
Still living in prison.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
A lot of interesting stuff to read about him.
Sirhan?
Yeah.
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 Is that his real name?
Sirhan, I believe so.
What kind of parent does that?
Someone foreign.
Oh. That's curious.
Not an American name?
Of course not. Episode 15, that right there, I feel like my brain was just massaged.
That was fun, man. There's a lot to talk about with that.
Deep thinking, various
That'll spawn some future episodes, too.
Yeah, and don't forget, contact us and let us know, just out of curiosity's sake, for us to kind of figure it out, where you're listening to this. You know, the gym, at work, headphones while I'm pretending to read the kids' homework, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And look up Turkmenistan on Google, and you'll be pretty amazed.
Yeah, you will.
Look Episode
up,
15.
Actually, go back, listen to all this, look up all that stuff we talked about.
We spelled out a lot and laid out some stuff.
Yeah,
there.
We did.
Episode 15, Jim.
It was fun, man. I look forward to episode 16 next week.
We'll do it. It's been After Hours with the Ruzz, guys. Guys?
All right. Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Ruzz Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.